Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. We've been looking at a thorough application of the Ten Commandments. Sometimes we just skim through them and we think that because we don't have a stone idol and we don't curse in God's name, we're okay. But it goes deeper than that. There's more of an application to it that we should be able to stop and ponder. Remember, there's no scripture that's worth passing quickly. And it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And we've looked at several things. We've looked at the denial or protecting God's name, exalting his name. And that's where we are now. We're looking at the protection of his name. And we want to look at protection from deception. From deception. A lot of people use God's name improperly. Not in just that they're saying it wrong or that they're using it in their curse words, but the problem's not just denial, but it's deceptions about who God is. There are many who use the name of God to their advantage. They do not necessarily believe in the name of the Lord, but they evoke his name in deception. The election year is big on that. It is funny how we suddenly, within the year of an election, get to find out the politician's religion. Isn't that interesting? How many Baptists and Catholics and Methodists have all come out? Now, have they been to church in the last 20 years? No. We had one president who went on a search to say this is they went on a search what church he wanted to be a member of, and was so ignorant as to the type of church that it was or what the pastor preached, that when later they found out that the guy was racist, he was quite surprised. And, oh, okay, well, no. Truth is, we just found this guy through a lottery. We have no idea. It was funny how quickly they put on the mirage, how quickly they put that on to cover themselves or to make themselves look good. We were talking on Friday about how, you get around people and you tell them what church you go to and things like that. And so often, people who have no affiliation with religion whatsoever, oh yes, I too am a Christian. I'll introduce myself as a pastor. Oh yes, I go to a church down over here. Who's the pastor over there? Oh, you know what? I can't quite remember his name. Can't quite pick him out of a hat. You know, I don't know who he is, but I rest assured, I go there. People put on this form of Christianity. Now, in these days, that is going to drop off as the more socially accepted point of view is to be anti-religion and to be pro-insanity. The more we see this worldliness creeping in, the more acceptable wickedness is going to be over godliness. But 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that live godly, that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And that's what we're going to see. We're going to see people putting this on. Hey, I'm a Christian. We believe this. We believe that. But ultimately, they don't. And some people, even within churches, will use their church membership or their relationship with God to try to get out of trouble. And that's embarrassing. Earlier, it was a couple weeks ago, down in Lansing, there was a robbery at a bookstore. You know those ones that we've been seeing in California where a bunch of people show up and they just kind of smash and grab? Well, it was kind of like that, but without all the activity. They were just slipping stuff into book bags and things like that. The store had cameras all over and caught one girl full face, and on her sweater was a sweater from a Christian music festival. Now, sure enough, I wonder when they put her under the lights there at the police station. Well, I'm a member of such and such church. People use that. Oh, yeah, I'm this. No, your behavior ought to be matching. Don't use God's name like that. Don't sit there and try to use it as a buffer from your sin. Right? You can find grace with God. You can find mercy with God. But don't you dare sit there and say, well, I know. Don't name drop God to get out of trouble. Well, I'm a deacon of such and such church. I'm the pastor of such and such church. And I've heard pastors get into trouble. They've done things they weren't supposed to do. And a deacon will come and, hey, listen, that was my wife. Or, hey, listen, that was this and that was that. And you're not supposed to do that. And the pastor says, well, how dare you? Don't you know the Bible says you ought not touch the man of God? That's not what that means. If a man of God no longer fits the qualifications, he's no longer a man of God, right? If I were to take a salad, salads are healthy, right? At least that's what I've been told. Salads are healthy. But if I were to go and I were to take like a bunch of ranch dressing, or, oh, my mother-in-law brought this over. We had the family over yesterday. Brought over Italian dressing because it was the better option. 140 calories per two teaspoons, I think it was. I go, oh. You know, now that I've got to look at labels, oh my, and how much sugar was in there. Oh, it's supposed to be healthy. No, it was not. You start putting things in there, you change the definition of it, right? You start messing with things, you change the definition. So if you're out there, you know, messing with people's wives or doing the other things that pastors have gotten themselves in trouble for, guess what you fail to be? You no longer fit the qualifications. And sir, you are always touchable. All right? We are always touchable. If we have sin, let's not say open sin. If we have sin, we need to be called out for it. There's no one who's got that base layer of protection. And churches have gotten themselves in trouble. Maybe not with the world, but with God. Because they hid the sins of particular people because of their status within the church. That's not the way that should go. We should all repent and encourage each other to walk in good ways. Not to punish or to be satisfied at the hurt of others. But to sit there and say, all right, well, now that that's over, let's move on. Let's keep going. The other thing we need to protect God's name from is from distortion. Oh, they did it again 2 years ago or last year, that during the Super Bowl. They ran that commercial, He Gets Us. And basically it's talking about how Jesus Christ, and it's got pictures of people in varying different sins and varying different looks. And He gets us. Our failures are this, are that. I go, you know, He absolutely does get us. But the important thing isn't that He gets us. The important thing is that we get Him. He understands that we're sinners, but it's not acceptable. He understands that we're weak and we're frail at times. He understands that our will desires the wrong things. He gets us, yes. But we need to get that it's wholly unacceptable to the point to where he sent his son to die on the cross for that sin. And that whole commercial was just one big come as you are, stay as you are. I'm glad that when the Lord drew me to Him, I didn't have to stay the way I was. I'm glad that opportunities to change and to be better were given to me. The resources, the Holy Spirit, the Bible, all these things. To, hey, knock that off and accept my righteousness. I'm glad that was there. Well, why do you pick on these people? Isn't it good that somebody made it to the Super Bowl with a commercial? Why do you pick on these people? Aren't you glad that they've got thousands of people in the door? Hey, listen, if you're preaching the truth and people are getting saved, I'll give it to you. But you're lying to them if you're teaching them wrong. If you're sitting there, you're teaching a baptism of regeneration, you're not doing good. You're doing bad. If you're preaching that you can live in sin and walk with God at the same time, you're confusing people and you're hurting them, and shame on you. If your doctrine isn't right, oh my, to find a modern day church that teaches the Bible as it is and doesn't hide from it, right? They're not afraid of the deep end of the pool, so to say. Man, it is difficult to find one like that. Why? Well, it's polarizing. It gets debates out there. It's much better for us to just say that God is love and leave it at that. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Lord, haven't we preached? Haven't we spoken? I was in the pulpit for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. I never missed a day at church. I was there 15 minutes early. I stayed a half hour late. I cooked a casserole at every get-together. I folded the chairs. I put up the tables. I swept the floors. What am I not one of yours? Verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There will be many who have a distorted point of view of who God is, because we have allowed it. Now, I don't know about you, but this breaks my heart. There's a lot of people out there that sit there and say, see, people are going to get punished. See. That breaks my heart. That's why I speak so often the way I do about different philosophies. That's why I preach the Bible as is. And that's why I'll sit there and when I see people preaching false, I'll say something about it. That's why I address it so much from the pulpit. Because there's so much confusion and it's no good to stand before God confused. It's good for us to teach the truth. What was the difference? Verse 21 says, "But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." God's version of salvation. God's version of doctrine. God's version of righteous living. That's what we need to have. That's what we need. But when we allow distortions, when we allow disruptions in the preaching of the word, when we try to clean it up to where people like it, make it more palatable, all we do is we create garbage. Again, that illustration of that salad dressing. You put too much of that on those leaves don't stand a chance. You could have the nicest carrots. You could have the most beautiful peppers. You can put the best of kale in there, and it won't stand a chance against that garbage. When you teach and preach garbage, that's what your ministry has become. That's what our work has become. We must guard God's name against distortion. We must protect it to be the absolute best that we can. We need to protect it from desecration. Exodus 20, verse 7, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." In vain. That word vain, meaning to prettify things or to look good but have zero value. You know, I think I've used this illustration before, these flowers. They look good, don't they? But they don't really do anything. They don't freshen the air. The bees can't come and eat from them, and there's no worms underneath them. You know, kind of digging down in there. It doesn't benefit anything other than to what? Satisfy the eye. And sometimes people put on God to just make things easier to stomach. You see that often in the language in some of the old historical documents of our country, where people put on a form of godliness, as the Bible says. They put on this form of godliness, but it's for no other reason than to look good. I mean, that little scroll on our money, "In God we trust." In God we trust. Why is that there for? Our country stopped trusting God a long time ago. Why? So they could serve other gods. What gods? Well, a lot of it's that God that they got in their hand. God we trust. Well, who cares? As long as we've got the power and we can move legislation to get the things the way we want, we'll make more money. And who cares what the government looks like by the time I go to retire? As long as I get to retire in a big old mansion on an island somewhere, who cares? We've talked also about using God's name and swear words. I can't think of a more profane and simple-minded thing to do than to swear. Especially when you get around these people who everything they say is swearing. I talked to somebody one time. They said, "Well, I don't like it when they bleep those words out. It takes out it takes away the experience a little bit of me watching this." And I said, "What? Why? Why do you need that word?" "Well, it's interesting. I'll tell you why you want that word, because when you were a little kid, there were words that mommy and daddy could use, but you couldn't use. And when you started using them in school, you looked so cool. But now that you're 55, you haven't been able to disassociate yourself from that. Now you still think it's so cool." I go, "You're a child. That's why you like those words." He didn't like that, but we had that kind of relationship where we could talk to each other like that. I wasn't being rude for no reason, but you get my point. So that's a vain thing to begin with. That's a foolish thing to begin with. It's a mindless thing. You don't have to think of a good sentence. You just got to put enough in there. It's like being a terrible cook, so you put a bunch of spice in there hoping nobody would realize. But to put God's name in there too, how debauched can we possibly be? To sit there and take the name that means more above all other things and cuss with it. It is a silly and blasphemous thing for us to do. We talk a little bit about Christian counseling. You know, when people who come from a life of swearing all the time, sometimes they have a hard time after the Lord saves them transitioning from speaking like that to not. You know, I didn't mean to, but it just fell out. The questions you always have to ask are this: who swears around you still? Well, nobody. Now that I'm a Christian, none of my coworkers swear around me anymore. That's great. What do you watch on the TV? Well, you know, whatever's on HBO or this or that. Okay. What's the rating on it? Rated R. Okay, so you get to use swear words in it pretty often. Well, nowadays, you can put a couple swear words in PG-13 or PG, and it don't matter to these people. But you surround yourself by those cuss words, you're going to have a hard time getting rid of them. You keep those things in your life, it's going to happen. And before you know it, a child of God saved 20, 30 years can use the name of the Lord in vain. I wonder why. You surround yourself with it, it will eventually come out. If we love God, we'll protect His name. Think of people that you love. You know, I love my wife. Somebody I held very high respect for once questioned her intelligence. And it wasn't even her fault, it was his. And I'll tell you what, anybody ever found yourself ready for a fight? I took him aside. I said, you owe her an apology, and you need to knock that off. And any man here would most likely do the same for their wife, right? And hopefully, you women would do the same for your husbands. That needs to be a two-way street, by the way. For you to sit there and be upset that he maybe misaligned you or somebody didn't treat you right, he didn't stand up and sock the guy in the mouth, but yet you say whatever you want in front of your lady friends, that's not love. That's not a good relationship. And men the same. If you're at work talking about quote-unquote your old lady, that's not good. We need to protect each other's names, right? And we would do that. And we would sit there and say, oh, that is a very good thing for you to do to protect the name of your husband or your wife. Why? Because we love Him. If I love the Lord, I'm going to protect His name, both with my lips and from the abuse of other people. All right, we can't use His name as an excuse, right? Some people use it as an excuse. I feel as though God would be okay with me doing this. Don't do that. Don't you know the Bible says don't do that? Yeah, but you know what? God knows. And God wants me to be happy. I hear that a lot in the modern Christian world. God wants me to be happy, and He knows I'd be miserable without it, so He understands. He took whips to the back, thorns to the brow, and that old piece of Roman lumber on His back and died to pay the penalty of our sin. And we're sitting there going, well, He understands. We need to put the proper perspective on that. Right? It is not a matter of God going, okay, I'll forgive you. You know I love you. No, He had to pay for that. He had to pay for it. And He paid for it drop by drop with His blood. Matthew 12:34 says, this is the Lord speaking, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You don't want this because you think God wants you to have it. You want it, and you're using God for leverage. What's in your heart is wickedness. What's in your heart is evil. You will desire that sin, and you're using God to justify it. And I tell you what, you're going to get yourself in trouble that way. God does not handle blasphemy well. So how do we do it? How do we honor God's name? We know what not to do. We know how to defend it. But how do we bring the high and holy name of God from the church house into the society where we live? There are two primary ways where we can proclaim God's name and lift Him up to the place that He deserves to be. Acts 11:26, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Our testimonies matter. What we are called matters. If we are out there and one side of our mouth talking about how we are Christians, but talking vanity, foolishness, and sin out of the other, we're messing up. live a good testimony. That is how we lift God's name up high in society. Live a good testimony. Don't have sin in your heart that'll translate to sin in your life. Don't abuse people. Don't hurt people. Don't be nasty. Don't take what's not yours. Don't be a violent individual. Don't be known for a hot temper. Don't be known for foolishness. But instead, bear the fruit of the Spirit out there. Let people see. Not to put on a show, but to point others toward Christ. I love lighthouses. Michigan has some of the most beautiful lighthouses in the country. Beautiful. But the purpose of a lighthouse isn't to draw attention to the lighthouse, is it? It is to draw attention to something more important. And that is our job. We are to warn of danger and to point people to safe areas. And the only safe area we have in life is the Lord. We are to point people to God. That is why we live it outwardly. Not to bring honor and glory to the lighthouse, but to warn the sailors of impending doom. To warn them of the danger that is ahead. And to point others to Christ. To point them, hey, this is what God has done for me. And when you do, inevitably get people come up to you and going, why are you like this? Why are you so calm? Why are you so this? Hey, when you reacted that way, I would have never reacted that way. You handled that way better than me. We can do what? Well, I'm only doing what God taught me how to do. I told somebody one time, believe you me, I wanted in every bit of me to do what you would said. You just said you would have done. But I got to answer to God at the end of the day, not this guy. And listen, we point it all to the Lord because not a one of us could achieve righteousness or do good in our lives without Him. We would only feed every bit of our lust and every impulse that we have. We need God to point us in the right direction so that we can bring others along with us. 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Don't damage God's name. Don't be the kind of Christian who has a mean or unforgiving spirit. I tell you what, it is hard to believe that someone's been forgiven by God when they refuse to admit that they are wrong or they refuse to forgive others. Because if I've been in that position, and if you're saved, you have been, where you know you deserve God's wrath and you know you deserve God's punishment. But it was by His forgiveness and His mercy you don't get it. And then you go on in life and you find somebody who maybe dings your car or says something not so nice to you. And you hold on to that in unforgiveness for years. It doesn't make much sense. There's a parable about that. How about this? We look around. We see different issues. And don't be the kind of person who's undisciplined in their behavior. Who's unkempt looking and doesn't take care of things and just overall has a sloppiness to him. Hey, if you believe that all things came from God, well, take care of them. Take care of them. We were sitting there yesterday and I tell you what, having six people or four kids in the house, we get a messy house real fast. I mean, really fast. Yeah, you see that... what was it? Peanuts, that comic with Snoopy in them, had that character Pigpen. And I remember reading the comic one time where they gave Pigpen a bath. Mom gave Pigpen a bath. And then Pigpen came out and he looked all clean. And two frames later, all that dirt just came flying back at him. I kind of feel like my house is like that, but with small plastic bits of things. You know, just stuff everywhere. We were cleaning because we were having relatives over, and you reach underneath that couch and you find everything people have been crying over for the last 2 days. You know, oh, there's that ball. Even the dog got in. The dog found a squeaky toy. He was so happy. You know, everybody was receiving their prodigal stuff back. Take care of things. You know, I keep having that. Oh, man, I lost this. Well, where did you put it? I don't know. Well, let's go look for it. Oh, there it is. Oh, how'd it get there? I'll tell you how it got there. You didn't take care of it. So when you see people out there and they're not taking care of their appearance nor the things that they have, and they're not being respectful for the things that they have, they're not being good stewards, and then we sit there and we want to talk about how we know the love of God and we know how all things come to us from God, we've got a bit of an issue. You know, keep the yards clean, the house is right. Don't take advantage of certain things. I'll do this. You know, I've had a few people that I know and I love that have started businesses. And you've got two different kind of family members when it comes down to when you start a business, right? You've got the ones that expect a steep discount. And then you should have people that will sit there and want to pay just a little bit more to support you, right? I always fell on the other side. You know, when I was first married, a cousin of mine started a car detailing thing. I thought that was great. And he goes to offer me a discount. No. We ought to be that way, not taking advantage of things, not being the kind of people who are willing to take advantage of other people and hurt them. You know, when you see the opportunity to do good and you let it pass by. Or somebody who is like we're staring at today, taking the Lord's name in vain. You know, when you slam a hammer into your thumb, and then on Friday you're inviting people to come to church with you. There's that dichotomy. There's that double standard there that you can't live and expect people to believe you. You know, I think one of the worst insults a Christian can have is when they tell somebody that they go to church and somebody looks at them quite surprised. You go to church? What about all those jokes you told at the lunch table? What about that argument that you got in with the boss and you called him all manner of terrible things? What about this? What about that? Hey, listen, you want to protect God's name. Have a good testimony. Be somebody that's glad for you. Be somebody that's happy. Somebody who's good to be around. Somebody who's a blessing. The other way that we can lift God's name up is by witnessing, by telling others of what God has done for you. And you don't have to be, top salesman at it. You know, I've had a lot of training in sales and how to start conversations and things like that. And I'll tell you, none of those things have ever really worked in giving somebody the gospel. You know, when they go to open the door, yeah, I'll still do this. When they go to open the door, hand the tract out like this, in their brain, it'll automatically figure out to reach out and grab it. I used to do this to my boss all the time. I realized that he wouldn't pay attention. And whenever I tried to hand him, he would just take. And I would try to find just the most random thing on earth for him to have. And I went over, I'd grab a cleaning brush and put it into his hand while he's talking. He'll be given instructions, and I'll just come up to him, here go, boss. And he'll grab that, and he'll start gesturing on around with it like I do. And he's just got this cleaning brush in his hand. I got a kick out of that stuff. But no, you hand it to him. So in their mind, I got to reach out and grab it. So now they got the track, and even if they slam that door, they've slammed that door, and they got the track in their hand. You know what most likely is going to happen with that track? I'm going to crawl that away. Well, what I'll do is I'll get them in this kind of a position, and they'll be forced to listen to me. No, it ain't going to work. You know what you got to do? Just have a regular human conversation with somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all you got to do. The more real it is, the less produced it is, the better it'll be. Man, I'm having this problem. You know, I used to struggle with that. But you know what? The Lord showed me this. I know. We're talking about God, and it makes people uncomfortable. But I'll be honest with you. I found some of the best help I could have ever found in the Bible concerning that issue. You know, oh, man, you won't believe it. Yesterday, this happened. Oh, we're on cloud 9. The kid graduated. This wonderful thing happened in our house. And oh, we're so happy. Oh, praise the Lord. And you have that conversation. Man, I'll just be praying that everything works out well. And I tell you what, let's pray right now. And we pray and we have that conversation. Man, you bring everything back to God. You know what? Everything comes from Him. Why not bring it back to Him? Have a good, solid, honest conversation. One person to the other. You know, I love it when people try to give me the gospel. And I'll be honest with you, most of the time I just let them talk. One, because I love the story. Two, because I'm so encouraged. You know, never making fun, never being silly. But you know how some people, they'll psych themselves up and they'll just, they'll get all the way through their presentation. And I'll just sit there and I'll say, thank you. The Lord saved me a long time ago. But you encouraged me today to go out and do the same. Brighten my day up. You know, our silence doesn't do us any good. It's never helped us a lick. And I don't understand why people are still so hesitant to speak the name of Jesus Christ and to give the gospel in the way that we should. When the great diaspora of Christians in Acts 8 is mentioned, verse 4 says, therefore they were scattered abroad. They that were scattered abroad went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. Why were they scattered? For preaching the word. They faced persecution. But what did they do as they went? They preached the word. You know, I was watching a documentary on the Waldensians, and we've talked about them recently, and they faced really hard persecution because the silly people, they stayed around Italy and France, right? Now, you also know that there was a very strong persecuting power around Italy and France during that time. You know what kept getting them caught? They wouldn't shut up. They just kept giving the gospel to people, coming down into the villages and giving the gospel or reaching out to a neighbor. You know what? It'd get them in trouble. And would that ever stop them? It never stopped them. Christians down through the ages have found strength in giving the gospel. It's what we're supposed to do. It is what people need. Philippians 2:9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, until that day comes where all every knee is bowed, we need to give the gospel. We need to point people to Christ. John Newton was once a rough, dirty sailor with a foul mouth and an appetite for rotten living. After repeatedly scorning all spiritual influences, he was brought to the end of himself during a storm at sea. He cried out to Christ, trusting in the name he had previously cursed, and was saved. Newton spent the rest of his life preaching the gospel well past his retirement age. He had to have an assistant stand in the pulpit with him on Sundays. He was nearly blind and spoke in whispers, but nothing could keep him from proclaiming the name he now loved. One Sunday, while delivering his message, he repeated the sentence, Jesus Christ is precious. His helper whispered to him, but you have already said that twice. John turned to his helper and said loudly, yes, I've said it twice and I'm going to say it again. If Jesus matters to us, if God matters to us, his name ought to be one of the most precious things we have. It should be carefully spoken. It should be guarded. Our affiliation with him ought to make our lifestyles better. It ought to make us want to behave better because of who we are associated with. It is like a preacher gave me some of the worst advice I've ever had one time, but I'm pretty sure he was just being silly. He says, if you ever get pulled over, have your church card, the card for your church that you have, a business card, right behind your driver's license, and give it over to the police officer. And go, oh, I didn't mean to put that there. I'm pretty sure he was tongue-in-cheek being silly. But man, if I'm messing up, I certainly don't want you to associate me with God. If I failed or if I fouled some way, I don't want that to come back on my father. I don't want that. So what should it make us do? Instead of just sitting there and pretending we're not Christians like Peter so we don't get in trouble, let us instead act right. Because some Christians don't act like Christians. We don't act like we've been forgiven more than a few times. We don't act like we haven't received the world's greatest mercy you could possibly receive. We fail to act as though what we do ties back to another person. And if we are to be called Christian, which means Christ-like, there ought to be Christ-like behavior in us. A compassion and love that goes beyond what most people would expect. An adherence to the rules and the ordinances of God that goes beyond just casual followership, but encompasses the entirety of our lives. Why? Because Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Man, you look every now and then, you see people who've just lost their minds about these celebrities. I mean, these super fans. These people who quit their job and follow them all over the country. And that's been going on for decades. It's not new. And I'm sure it's been probably going on for thousands of years, for all we know, where they find somebody that we lift up and we really, really like them and we're willing to go crazy over them. But I tell you what, of all these people that are lifted up right now, there's no name like Jesus Christ's. You know, you could find some pop star, some sports, some athlete, some politician, that people are just willing to lose their minds for. But I tell you what, there's no politician on earth that could die on the cross for my sins. There's no pop star that can show me mercy. There's no athlete out there, gold medalist or billionaire, that can do anything. You know, they got that new place that is supposed to be run by Shaquille O'Neal over there in Clio. I tell you what, that food right there ain't going to help you spiritually. Doesn't matter how big, how popular, how important they are. It's not going to help you. Not the way that God can. Not the way that God can provide for us. But we'll sit there, hey, no, I really like that person. That's a good person. No, don't talk bad about that person. We do that all the time. Oh, no, I like that artist. I like the way that, I like that. But yet somebody will say the Lord's name in vain, and we'll just let it pass. Yeah, you'll talk all about this pop star, but you care nothing for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All you'll listen to the albums, but you won't listen to the Word of God. There's no other name that can save you. There's no, I tell you what, there's this person in my life and they bring me all kinds of joy and happiness. That's great. But don't abandon the Lord. Don't forget that He's the number one. That He can help you in that relationship just as much as He can help you with your eternal salvation. We need Him in all things. And we ought not abuse or abandon His name. We ought to lift it high and live respectfully, knowing that it goes back to Him. Can't remember, I mean, it's an old television trope, I'm sure, of a dad having a good name and the son's acting wild, right? As a story as old as time. You know, and the dad says, well, that's my name you're walking around with there, bud. Don't be a fool out there. Well, that's the relationship we have with God. If we are truly to uphold His name, we need to remember that that name is attached to us and how we behave out there. So not only should it be respected in our lips and in our hearts and in our minds, but it ought to be, we ought to be showing it respect with our everyday life as we live outwardly. You know, I saw that video again of that girl who went in with a bunch of her friends, robbing that bookstore. And I don't know the people who run that bookstore. I don't even know if it's a good bookstore. But if you're going to sit there and have your name splashed across the news, and in your Christian music festival, that's the name of Christ in there, isn't it? Associated with theft. I don't care how you make other Christians look. That's sad that people will judge one Christian based off of another. But I care very deeply about what you do for the name of the Lord. Let us honor it and protect it and live well knowing that we are associated with it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, what a blessing it is to know Your name. And Father, for all the things that You've done for us and all the things that You are to us. Lord, as if we were to go through the Old Testament, we would see all the different names that Your people have had for You. And Lord, You've lived up to and beyond every single last one of them. Father, I just pray this, that you teach us respect and love and decency as far as it comes down to treating your name. Help us, Lord, to do well by it. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.